Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa. Here's Matt. Guns it. Caught. First touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown Calvin Ridley. Grady Jarrett got another one. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
It's good to have you listening, and we appreciate you guys, as always, checking us out on Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show, Dukes and Bell. We won't waste any time because we know Coach is busy getting ready for Tampa Bay, and every Wednesday we get a chance to talk to Arthur Smith, head coach of our Atlanta Falcons. And, Coach, it's good to have you back on the show. Obviously, not the result we wanted last week, but I want to start with how do you fix the issues up front with the O-line? It's been a big topic of conversation this week here on the show. How do you go about trying to fix some of those issues?
Well, yeah, I mean, first off, you look at everything, but you know, some of it is it fundamental? Can you correct it? And if that's the case, then you know, we all got to earn our pay here and work through it and fix it fundamentally. But if it's something else, then you got to make the hard choices and shuffle guys in and out. So there's a fine line, you know, when you're playing rookies or playing young guys in certain spots. There's some growing pains. It's not all gloom and doom. Obviously, the end result is not what we wanted. But, you know, there's a fine line between jerking the wheel and panicking and giving somebody a chance to make sure they can correct it. And then if it doesn't get corrected, then, all right, then you got to do something else. But so that's kind of where we're at right now. And that's everything. We got to play better in all three phases, clearly.
The couple drives, I mean, to start the game, sitting in the stands, they're like, wow, look, we're going right down the field and everything seems to be working. Some big throws to Ridley and things were really cooking. Are you putting that in right now? You script your plays? How does that work? Because the first couple of series looked great other than once we got inside the 10.
Yeah, it was really, sadly, it was inside the 4.
Right.
So, you know, and that's not, you know, saying that being a smart A or anything. It's just, that's what happened. So, no, we have your opening thoughts and the way we wanted to start the game. That's why I use that golf analogy. It's like we hit a pretty good tee shot, and then obviously we hit it into the sand after that. So I haven't been a part of many games where you have 40 offensive snaps and 3 drives and only 6 points. Clearly not good enough. But we got some things. It's correctable. It starts with me. I got to do a better job. And, you know, when you don't do that, I mean, that's life in the NFL. I mean, you're still sitting – it's ugly, but you're in a 15-6 ball game in the middle of third quarter, and we don't do anything with it. So that's a disappointing part. Is, you know, we didn't overcome that. Most weeks, and maybe one or two games a year where, you know, things happen and make a lot of mistakes, but it's usually a dogfight, and we didn't get into the heavyweight round there and lost it. So disappointed, but we got 16 games ahead of us.
It is Coach Arthur Smith, guys, here with us on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, we're still trying to get to know you. We're still trying to understand what you're trying to do offensively, and that's going to take some time. But is there a reason why Kyle Pitts was not on the field in the red zone? And is that a philosophy thing? Working him in? How do you look at that?
Yeah, look, those are – when things go wrong, like, let's be real. That's a real kind of surface thinking narrative. Like, sometimes it's as practical as a guy's tired. He was in there in the plays before. I mean, we got a lot of guys you scheme around. And that play right there, there's certain plays and certain concepts we feel good, whether it's Hayden or him. So – those are the easy ones to criticize. But sometimes it's as simple as there's something going on and a guy comes out and the next guy's got to go up. It's happened a million times where you may have schemed something up for A.J. Brown. He had an issue and the next guy's up and the next guy scores. So that's what happens in some of those. We're in tune about who's in there and who's not.
Because I know the procedure, that was a tough one, but I know that, as you know, I think you commented on it last week saying fans got to, I don't know if you're meant to temper their expectations as he absorbs as much of the playbook as he needs to, or is that a continuing process?
Yeah, it's a continuing process. I mean, if you can see, there's a lot of ways we use those guys, and he's done a nice job. I mean, he's ahead of most rookies I've ever been around tight ends. Now, there's certain things that, you know, you plan – to get, you know, somebody might be the primary and the defense has to say they take it away and you go backside or you go to the second option. So, and there's sometimes you can, if you want to force something in there, whether you want to get them a screen or, try to in there guarantee somebody gets the ball, you know, those are ways to do it too. So, like I said, the way that thing started in those first three drives, we felt like we were pretty balanced. We got behind the sticks and then it was ugly when it became one dimensional.
Coach, what do you think we have to do to have success running the ball against the Bucs? Let's turn the page because that's our next opponent Sunday. I know you got guys back today, and I know that, you know, you're starting to install things. What do you think we have to do to have success running the ball against them?
Yeah, they present a hell of a challenge. You know, they've been damn good against stopping the run. It's twofold. One, they got good players and good scheme. The other thing is they've been in a lot of games where they've been ahead, and so the rush attempts are down. You've seen teams try to attack them. I know Bruce Arians talked about it. You know, we're going to see screens, things like that. Certainly teams have tried that route. Now, you don't want to be hard-headed if there's a brick wall in there and you know, it's a 10-man box. You know, we got to do something else. But we played them in 19 when I was in Tennessee. Again, it's going to be a physical game Sunday. We'll be smart about it, but we're, again, going to try to stay balanced. And then sometimes, you know, you can get certain screens or you swing the ball out there or the way you look at it, and they're essentially runs or some quick game too. So there's other ways to stay balanced, but and that's what we'll try to do, and we'll be smart about it.
It's our weekly visit with Coach Arthur Smith, guys, here on the WadeFord.com hotline in the Falcon Report. I know Carl asked you about what's going on with Mayfield in the line. Looking at Dahlman, exploring all the options this week as well.
Yeah, look, guys, Jalen's a rookie. You know, we had a bunch of injuries to start camp. He played tackle in college, and that's what, you know, we had to. We knew we had a plan. We wanted to get him to compete in there, and then, you know, we had him at guard reps. Right. And then Josh Andrews, you know, breaks his hand in a freak thing on a last week. So, whatever, I'm losing sight of the days here, but I'll run it together. But, you know, that's life, and so the guys got to get ready to play. And we got a lot of faith in Jalen. He's in his first game as a rookie. There's certainly it's not all his fault, but when that's life as a lineman. When they notice you, it's usually not a good thing. And that happens, you know, late in the game against a really good player. And I expect him to bounce back. But again, like if anybody, if it's somebody it's struggling, yeah, every option's on the table.
Coach, you had the number two red zone offense in the NFL as an OC with the Titans. Now you're the head coach here. I'm just curious, why did you have so much success there with the offense in the red zone? And then does any of that translate here?
Well, certainly. You know, again, like we went through our struggles there. And when you get in a rhythm, and that's why I believe in balance and, you know, being able to work the ball around. So I think what happens when teams continue to struggle is when you become obvious. When you get down there all of a sudden and then you're starting to play isolation, and they can take that away from you. They say, hey, they're only targeting player A, player B. They get inside the 10. It's the only place the ball is going. And defense, they're smart too, and they take it away. You know, and it's you got to be able to move the ball around. You got to have multiple ways to do it. And we had our struggles in Tennessee, and we broke through on the other side, and that's my anticipation. I can't predict when it happens. It needs to happen sooner than later. But that helped. It helped because we balanced and we had a really unselfish team. So we went down there, we didn't feel like we had to force the ball to one particular person. Usually it naturally works itself out. And so that's kind of where our philosophy was down there.
It's Coach Archer Smith with us, guys, here on the WadeFord.com hotline. It's our Falcon Report brought to you by our buddies at Domino's. We talked about the penalties earlier, Coach. Some of those, and I don't want to put words in your mouth because I know the NFL will fine you for it, but some of those pass interference calls were a bit sketchy.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to jam you up, but that's,
I appreciate it.
It changes the complexion of the game if you get some of those first downs when it was a one-possession game.
Sure. I guess the best way to answer that without criticizing, because, again, those guys have a hard job, and things happen, and sometimes the optics of it, it's been. But the intent, when you're playing against a zone team, you're not running pick plays. And so, you know, some of those, the flat defender happened to be tucked all the way inside. And, you know, you're running against zone and the optics of it, whether he ran it, I mean, you know, it's just, they called it. There's nothing, not a damn thing I can do about it other than say, look, that's not, nobody's running pick plays versus zone. They have a hard job. I get it. Certainly, you know, it's, you wish it hadn't happened. We'll try to find ways to make sure that we don't, we're smarter about it so we don't have those collisions, I guess is the best way I can put it.
Right. Yeah.
And again, you know, trying not to get fined here.
No doubt. We don't want you to get fined. We'll have a GoFundMe for you, Coach. It's Arthur Smith here on Dukes and Bell. The scheme was excellent. It was crap call. We can say that. You can't. Are you amazed at Tom Brady? He's 45 doing this.
Yeah, he's one of a kind. And like I said, I mean, the thing about Tom that I have so much appreciation for is, and I kind of said this earlier today when I was talking in the press conference there, and I mean this, I don't know of a guy that's handled situational football at that position better than Tom Brady. I mean, you just go years and years. I mean, think about some of the Super Bowls they didn't win. I mean, they came down to the last play. Mm. And so if you make mistakes, he's going to expose you. You have substitution errors, he exposes you. You bust coverages, he exposes you. So that's the challenge. It's a great challenge. It's fun. Again, that's what we signed up for. You want to play the best, and he certainly got a very strong argument as being the best.
I know that we saw the Cowboys game, and everyone gets into comparative scores and what they were doing there. But your defense, I know we've talked about you tip your cap to the Eagles' offensive line. They were really stout. I know Coach Pease was trying to do and throw as much as he could. But how do you try to generate some pass rush on a guy like that?
Yeah, there's different ways. You know, same thing. Different challenge, different quarterback. You know, obviously we didn't affect Hurts the way we, you know, wanted to, and that's a credit to the Eagles and a credit to him. You know, a couple of times we got guys free and he made a play and we didn't. So it's the same thing as you're looking at, you know, whether red zone scheme, third down, whatever you're doing, is it sound schematically? Did you get home? Yes. Okay. Why didn't we finish it? You know, you look at those reasons. Each week provides a different challenge. And again, at the end of the day, we got to play in all three phases. We made some critical errors that alter the game, and eventually you don't score enough points, you're going to put too much pressure on the defense. But if you're sitting there and you hope you have more points than six in the third quarter, and they're, you know, they've held them, it's not perfect, and it's 15-6, like, we need to be able to break to the other side. And then, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you get in there where you have to chunk it all over the yard, and, you know, you have to go for it. You're down 16, and, you know, they pad some points late, and then the final score looks really crappy, you know, for the defense, and it's not on the defense. It's all three phases. So kind of look at it, but we got to get better everywhere. But it's not gloom and doom. We still got 16 games.
Yeah, and just last thing, do you believe you can fix a majority of the things as far as the penalties and the being locked in and, you know, the red zone? You feel like all those things can be fixed, right?
Certainly. I mean, look, if we didn't have, you know, guys that could get open or, you know, weren't open or something like that, you know, and it was just a tough, and you're like, you know, we're not there. I mean, so there's things that we feel that are correctable. But again, that's the challenge. That's the name of this whole thing. That's why I compared it earlier. It's like, you know, a season, there's a lot of million sports analogy, but it's like trying to go win a major in golf. Like, yeah, we hit one off we screwed up the first hole.
Right.
You got 71 more holes, and can you continue to play well? And that's why I always appreciate those guys. You know, that's a grind. You know, a guy comes out hot on a Thursday, he fades by Saturday. Or the guys that, you know, they're in it at the end, it's the same thing right here. This first part of the season, can we get better? We need to win football games. Can we be better in October? in November and December. And those are the teams that usually consistently play in the tournament in January. And that's where we're trying to get this program. We feel it's correctable. Again, that's not arrogance or, you know, false bravado. I think that's reality. And you'll see it. I mean, you saw it around the league.
Yeah.
What happened week one, there's a lot of teams that I'd imagine we'll play much better this week. Hopefully ours, starting with us.
Coach, thank you so much, as always. And that's why I asked you, because I feel the same way. I appreciate the time. We Coach will join us every week, should I say, on Wednesdays, guys, here on Dukes and Bill. Coach, good luck on Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach. You got it.
So we'll dive into some of these things, guys. But he said, you know, don't be on the surface with Kyle Pitts. We're looking for things when things are going wrong. Could have been simply a substitution, whatever it might have been. They are aware of not having him on the field in the red zone. That's how he answered the question. All right, Mike, we got plenty more to get to. Now, we talked to Coach, but what about Tampa? We go behind enemy lines coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, guys. People are responding on our social media. Dukes and Bell 929. Mike Bell ATL. Put him up. See Dukes to what Coach Arthur Smith had to say. We will respond. Continue to tell us what you guys thought of what he had to say about week one. But now it's time to go behind enemy lines.
It's time to go behind enemy lines. We're bringing you all the intel for the Falcons' opposition.
Brady Jarrett blasted it.
Only on Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys, let's head to Tampa, Mike, and talk to our buddy Rick Stroud. And, Rick, we didn't start off the way we wanted to, but you guys surely did. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Yeah, the Bucs got the win. That's the most important thing. It was a pretty entertaining game, but they made a ton of mistakes and turnovers and did things that normally good teams don't do to win.
Yeah, we thought that, you took away the run game, but yet, you know, they did a nice job of giving Dak time to throw. He was picking on the corners after there was a bunt he went out in the injury. But the pass rush, were you surprised how Cowboys handled it for much of the game?
Well, it's difficult to get there when they're going to flip the ball out to the perimeter all day, and that's really what they did. Right. You know, I thought Vita Vea was dominant inside. You know, they clearly wanted – you know, to stay away from the heart of that defense, which is their inside linebackers or defensive line, made those edge rushers, you know, run to the sidelines a lot. So they had a game plan. You know, they threw it almost 60 times. That's not normally what you do. And I thought Ezekiel Elliott didn't run it very much, but he did a nice job in pass protection. So you credit the Cowboys for having a good game plan, but when they got in the red zone, they weren't able to execute and score touchdowns. They kicked field goals. They missed field goals. So in the end, that wound up costing them the game.
Cowboys, you know, when you look at the defensive plan of the Bucs, and I was really impressed at the way that they handled, you know, the Cowboys up front, and especially with how they got pressure on Dak throughout the game. We're worried about that, Rick. Talk to us about this front seven for the Bucs.
Well, I mean, it's good, right? I mean, again, I think a big difference maker, and they didn't have him after week five until they got to the championship game, is Vita Vea. But we know those two outside, you know, linebackers and Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaquille Barrett, who led the NFL in sacks, you know, just 2 years ago with 19 and a half. He had a sack against Dallas. I mean, that is, you know, that's where it all starts. And furthermore, Todd Bowles is somebody that thrives on bringing pressure. You know, if he gets you in a situation where you're behind the sticks, third down, he's going to dial it up from everywhere, particularly, you know, the inside linebackers walking up in the A gap. And you know, we know where Matt Ryan's going to be. So they've had success, you know, in the past. Last time they played these guys, you know, Atlanta jumped out to a 17-0 lead. And, you know, different coaching staff, all of that. But we saw in the second half the Bucs dial up the pressure. And I think Devin White had three sacks of Matt Ryan that day. So, you know, look, they're not going to let him sit back there and pat the ball. But by the same token, the Bucs have injuries. You know, they're beat up in the secondary a little bit. They've lost Sean Murphy Bunting, who is one of their starting corners. They'll probably get Jordan Whitehead back, their starting safety, this week. But they're going to test their depth, and some guys are going to have to step up and, you know, like Jamel Dean, and play really well. And they didn't do that in the first game.
What was Arian's reaction? Because obviously, you know, we get a kick out of the guy because he never pulls any punches. But obviously, was he saying what you expected? There were a lot of penalties in that game, too. Typical season opener.
Yeah, I think you saw some bad ball the first week, but that's not an excuse. You know, I mean, last year they were a team that was penalized a lot early in the season, especially at Chicago. They kind of cut it out. It shows to show you it's a new team. It's a new year. And, you know, they had 11 for, I think, 110 yards, something like that. And several of those on the back end, some pass interference penalties, you know, on offense, a couple of false starts, and just, you know, not clean football. But, again, I think the biggest improvement you see in the league a lot of times is from week one to week two. It was opening night of the NFL season. There was a lot of hype. They had a full stadium for once, you know, which has been, you know, didn't happen last year and quite frankly hasn't happened in Tampa for a while. So there were a lot of things going on. You know, for as much as this team says that they've, you know, turned the page and you try to move forward and, you know, forget the Super Bowl and all of that, there's so many signs and reminders, and they trot out two giant Lombardi trophies on the field. So, you know, I think there was just a lot of hoopla, and some of the younger guys didn't handle that very well. But again, what mattered to them is, you know, down the stretch, they held Dallas to field goals. They got the ball back to Tom Brady, and he did what he's always done.
It is Rick Stroud, guys, behind enemy lines, talking about the Bucs and the Falcons coming up Sunday. What's the running back situation? I mean, is it just hot hand? Is there a real rotation there with what they're trying to do in Tampa?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, they've got two guys that can run the ball pretty well in Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. I tend to think they look at Jones as their primary ball carrier, their running back one. He had a tough game in that he lost a fumble early in the game. Bruce Arians, you know, sat him down after that. Arian said he didn't handle it well mentally. I don't know what that means because he never got a chance to get back on the field. But we also saw, you know, Leonard Fournette have a ball go off his hands and be intercepted. So they both made mistakes. You know, Giovanni Bernard has been added to the mix. He's a third down back. He had a couple of important catches in the final drive. That's going to kind of be his role. Bruce has said he's going to start Rojo in this one. I think they do go with the hot hand. I think they'll all play. And, you know, in a perfect world, I think what the Bucs would like to do is, you know, get up on somebody, get a lead, and then, you know, let probably Fournette finish it just because he can close the game out, you know, with a tough physical running that he has. So they'll both play. All three of them will play. You know, we'll see who can avoid the mistakes and run the ball well.
It's our man Rick Stroud down in Tampa at NFL Stroud on Twitter. If you want to find out what's going on with the Bucs. Yeah, man, we were talking earlier about last year where we had the one game here, like the week before Christmas, where we were in it. We actually had a 17-point lead at the half, and I know we've asked you about this before, but for listeners who missed it, a lot of the Bucs and Bruce Arians, it seemed like that was a game that was a real catalyst for them, and they used that momentum all the way through into the playoffs.
Yeah, we've talked to them about that this week, and that's true. You know, they came out of the bye. They were 7-5. They had sort of a back and forth game with the Minnesota Vikings at home where they won the game, didn't play particularly well. And then, you know, they found their whole season sort of on the brink, down 17-0. You know, Calvin Ridley went off and turned Sean Murphy Bunting around a few times, and Matt was hot throwing the ball. And I think, you know, as the legend goes, they went to the locker room. There was a lot of yelling and screaming, and I think they realized their season was on the brink. But Tom Brady, who rarely speaks, you know, at halftime, you know, just calmed them down, I think, and said, look, we've got to go out and we've got to score on every possession, and we're going to do that. And, you know, again, he's a lot about belief, but they executed really well. I think he threw five touchdown passes in a half, and, you know, they won the game. And really – from then on, they were in attack mode. What they say is that changed the mentality of their offense. Is like, you know, they had to because they were down 17, but it was more like, let's go after these guys. You know, Antonio Brown had been there long enough. You know, they started throwing the ball down the field a little bit more, and they hit some big plays. And then defensively, you know, they attacked Matt Ryan pretty well. So I do think that it spurred, you know, what was part of an 8 straight wins, including the Super Bowl, and I think they've scored 30 points ever since, you know, before that game, and they've just been a hot offense in that sense.
Well, Rick, we're looking forward to hopefully a competitive game, and certainly
that's the best we can offer you, Rick. We're hoping for a competitive game.
Come on now, listen, it's week one, man. You know, you got a new coaching staff. You're kind of trying to thread the needle between keeping things together and moving on, and it's a funny place to be as a franchise, but we know this in the NFC South, right? Any given Sunday.
That's right.
But the Falcons will make a good showing themselves. These guys will have to play really well to win, and that's just the way it goes down here.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't think it's hard to tell a fan base that, though, Rick, when you've seen the last three or four seasons, and that's why we've got a new coach. So I think some of that is still living with us. We didn't get the performance we needed last week to kind of forget that stuff. But I'm with you. I totally agree with you. I think it's going to be a much better game than people anticipate. But I just want us to compete, you know, and we know we're up against. So thank you so much, as always. Great information. Follow him, guys. NFL Stroud down there in Tampa does a great job of covering the Bucs. We will talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks.
Cool, Rick. Yeah, right, guys, hit us up on the text line. Of course, we were the catalyst for them to get to the Super Bowl. Yeah, but we've talked about it, but it truly was. I remember watching that game. We were down in Amelia Island watching that at the sports bar. Like, no. Tom Brady did what he does.
And he did it last week against the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Let's hope he doesn't do it against us again. We're going to go around the yard, guys. And coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, Wes Durham, the voice of our Falcons, will join us. We will also let you hear some of the things that Coach Arthur Smith had to say. If you're just joining the show, he answered the question about Kyle Pitts not being in the red zone situation, but also talked about how to have success maybe against the Bucs and what this team needs to do Sunday. It's Dukes and Bell.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, guys, what do we get tonight? Oscar Yanoa on the hill. Mike, as we evaluate this starting pitching, and let's go back and take a look at what happened last night, because really this is where we've been, right? It's been about whether Yanoa, or for that matter, Tookie Toussaint, was going to, you know, show out and right. show us that they were going to give us quality starts. And, Mike, as we started the show today, I said, he's driving me crazy.
Yeah, I just feel like we're doing like Groundhog Day. And I know that Alex mentioned the four guys he trusts, of which Yanoa is one of them, although he has lost 3 of his last 4 starts. But and we got to get him deeper in the game, but you know, it is what it is. But getting back to Tookie, I just said it's like you and I have had this conversation now like 3 years in a row where it's like, you know, years ago it was like Fulton Avich, done. Okay, you know, it's like, all right, next, Kyle Wright, out. You know, Sean Newcomb, out. And so now I feel like it's Animal House. You know, it's like Niedermeyer, dead. Marmalade, dead. Tookie, dead. Smiley, dead to me. And I mean, I love to think there's a role for Tookie, but just like Smiley, you can't put him into a situation with guys on base. Only thing you can do with these guys now is long relief and blowouts. I've given Tookie as many chances as I've given Newcomb, and he wears me out. You talked about it earlier. He's got electric stuff, and I don't know if this is a coaching thing, if it's a mental thing. He struggles against the bottom part of the lineup. He gets through the top. He walks guys with 2 outs. He does stuff that drives me freaking crazy. Tookie wears me out the way Fulton Avich used to wear me out. On the last season.
Yeah, 4 earned runs, 5 hits. He did strike out 5. He had 3 walks last night. But, you know, here's the problem. And you start going, well, what's been the issue? It's these last few starts where he should be showing us that he's ready for the stretch run and potentially getting a playoff start. And instead, here we are wondering what we've got and whether he should even be considered to be a guy that we could count on in the playoffs. Now, will he have a role? Well, I don't know. Maybe he will. But, you know, again, I asked the question 3 weeks ago, 2 months ago, if the playoffs started today, who are you going with? Who's your game one starter? Who's your game two starter? You need more than just a couple of guys. Now, I'm with Snit on this, and I think Alex Anthopoulos said it as well. We have arms, Mike, but who do you trust?
Charlie Morton.
Yep.
Freed. I guess Hinoa, but Anderson hasn't been as dominant. I mean, again, small sample size last year, guys, only a 60-game season, but he came on, remember, beat the Yankees, beat the Red Sox, looked good in the playoffs.
So we're going to see Mueller and Wright. All right.
I mean, Wright, now Wright's been balling out at AAA for the Stripers, but he's got, again, what's going on mentally with Kyle Wright? And all these guys have the stuff where they should be able to be the next generation of starting pitchers for years to come with the Braves, but they always seem to have one step forward and two steps back. And I hope that Wright gets it right. I like Mueller. I think Mueller's got great stuff. I think he's taking his lumps. And I think it was a Snicker. We had that soundbite a few weeks back where it's like, look, that's what they kind of expected. He'd come up, he'd go down. But I just mentally, are these guys mentally tough enough? Because to me, Carl, that's where the rubber hits the road with the pitching.
No doubt. He's walked, we're talking about Tookie, 7 hitters over his last 7 innings. You go back his first 6, you know, he gave up, 2 or fewer runs in his first 6 of his first 7 starts, which gave us a lot of hope. That's why we were like, man, he's coming along. This looks good. But now as the season progresses, this is kind of where we are. So Braves lose last night, 5-4. What happens tonight will depend on Hinoa and how he gets going. Oh. Bullpen looked good last night from the standpoint, you know, they got thrown to the fire. They held up.
Which they have to every night that he pitches. Hey, one last nugget. I'm sorry, I meant to mention this earlier. His velocity was also down last night. Jeff Francoeur mentioned that on the Bally Sports broadcast for Tukey.
Yeah. And that I don't know. I have no idea. Mike,
they said it was down like 3 or 4 miles an hour, and but that's obviously less effective, and then makes everything else less effective.
But I was going to say, if your velocity's down, and then you're not trusting your pitches, you're in trouble.
Right.
That's
now Newcomb looked good last night in 2 innings.
He did, and that's the thing. Bullpen. When you talk about, you know, Tookie getting pulled, and you're throwing in guys, and you know Jacob Webb came in. I mean, it was a round robin of guys, Jesse Chavez, but they did a good job. I mean, again, this wasn't a game that got out of hand because of that. And then Soler, guys, this guy's got an 11-game, you know, best hitting streak to 11 games already. He's been money. Duvall continues to do what he does. So let's
35
hope we can...
homers, 100 RBIs. Only 2 other guys are at that plateau right now in the bigs.
It's crazy. And again, it's not Freddie who's leading this team in RBI. That's if I said, hey, trick question. You would never guess that it'd be Duvall, especially after the trade, but it is. And so now this team, we gotta continue to win series. So let's hopefully we put it together tonight against the Rockies. As we said, it's going to be Hinoa on the hill. Now, Chris, let's hear from Double A. I want to just play this soundbite one more time about the rotation status. The general manager came on our show yesterday, Alex Anthopoulos. We asked him specifically about the rotation because we were talking about Smiley, who's been, you know, now to the bullpen, relegated to the bullpen. But how does he look at this rotation moving forward?
Yeah, we have 4 guys right now that are locked in with Hinoa, Anderson, Fried, and Morton. And we've had a ton of off days, right? We had the 2 off days a little while ago, then we had an off day again. And we've had to move some things around in the rotation. Tukey had been throwing the ball well. And then the last start was, you know, as inconsistent and as it was off as I've seen him since he's been back. Now, you know, hard to explain that. It could have been Colorado. No one other than Charlie really threw the ball great in Colorado. You know, his rotation spot staying on the routine is a little bit thrown off. So I'll be very curious to see how he does tonight because he'll finally have had a normal side, not thrown out of the bullpen, knew he was going to start. And just being able to get back into a routine, I'm hoping, and I think we all are, that we see the guy that we saw early in the year when he came back. So, you know, Drew had an up-and-down year for us. And he had a really good stretch for us where, when I see the broadcast when we're on the road, I think we were 12-2 in his last 14 starts, and I think he was 7-0 in terms of just his wins. And so we won a lot out of his games. And you know, he obviously hasn't thrown the ball as well as he did last year. His velocity is not the same. You know, hard to explain it, but you know, he's certainly done everything we've asked of him. He's been able to take the ball, and he's been a big help in terms of being able to win games. But right now, we're going with the hot hand.
You got to. Now, the good news, as you said and pointed out, Carl, the start is we don't have as many of these. We have to worry about the five-man rotation. And it's so funny, just a few short weeks ago, Carl and I were saying and asking all our analysts, hey, what about a six-man rotation right now for the Braves? Well, you can table that idea until next season.
All right, Braves, let's get it done tonight, man. Let's get this win and win this series here tomorrow. All right, got to start tonight. Coming up, Wes Durham joins us, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, and more on what Arthur Smith had to say. A lot of people responding to some of his comments here on Dukes and Bell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.